You are listening to TLRStation.com.
Canadian Content is all about sharing unique stories of evolution and success from publicly traded companies across Canada. Bernadette Geronazzo is dedicated to providing listeners with insights on how successful Canadian corporations achieve their vision. She has more than 15 years of experience working with public and private corporate leaders to create public relations plans and strategic implementation fulfilling specific goals and objectives. Canadian Content Radio inspires you with insights from some of our country's unique leaders. And now, here is your host, Bernadette Geronazzo.
Hi there, this is Bernadette Geronazzo. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to tune in and listen to Canadian Content. Today, we welcome two very interesting guests to our show. In the first half, Mr. Mark Aarons Townsend, CEO at Kane Biotech, will be our guest. He'll be sharing insights on how their patent-protected technology has brought to market compounds that actually inhibit or disrupt biofilms. He will be explaining all about biofilms and the research that has led to some rather innovative products for pets in just a few moments.
Employees working alone are the most vulnerable. They face the risk of injuries, health incidents, and even physical assaults. How do you monitor your lone workers? A manual check-in process? A buddy system? Or not at all? There's a better method to monitor employees working out of sight and sound of others. Safety monitoring technology from Blackline Safety detects incidents in real time and pinpoints responders to your employees' precise location. Visit blacklinesafety.com. We've got your back.
Thank you for tuning in to Canadian Content. My name is Bernadette Geronazzo, and joining us from Winnipeg is our first guest, Mr. Mark Aarons Townsend, CEO for Kane Biotech. Mark Aarons Townsend joined Kane Biotech in May of 2015 as their president and CEO. The company has been operating in biotechnology since 2001. Mark himself has spent more than 30 years in the technology, engineering, and venture capital industries. Welcome to Canadian Content, Mark.
Good morning, Bernadette.
So, Mark, biofilms are identified with your company. For the benefit of our listeners, would you explain exactly what biofilms are?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Well, really, to understand biofilms, we first need to think of bacteria. In their free-floating state, bacteria are relatively easy to kill by antibiotics and antimicrobials, as well as the immune system of our own bodies. But bacteria, or as we like to call them, the bugs, they're smart, and to protect themselves, what they do is they form higher order structures that we call biofilms. So you can think of a biofilm as a bacteria fortress. They can repel strong attacks, and they can keep the bacteria inside safe. Now, biofilms, they are pervasive. They represent the most prevalent bacterial mode of growth. And the two easy-to-understand examples of biofilms are the plaque and tartar that grow in our teeth. Does that help?
That's terrific. Thank you. Now, what does Kane Biotech do about biofilms?
Well, if you look at, just to explain a little bit more about biofilms, if you think of the plaque and tartar example that I gave you before, these, you know, will protect the bacteria that are in our mouth. They're there to attack our teeth and gums, and they can cause all sorts of problems like periodontal disease. And so this becomes a situation where the bacteria can become much more resistant, and, you know, therefore we get these terms like superbugs and antibiotic resistance. So the concerning thing about biofilms as well, they can form on almost any surface. So that can be that slime feel that we can have on our teeth. Biofilms can form on our skin, They can form on hard metal plastics, hard metal and plastic surfaces that we would encounter in places like hospitals and food processing plants. What Cain has done here is, we've taken a different approach when it comes to fighting biofilms. With over 15 years in research and development, the company chose early on to attack these fortresses, the biofilms where bacteria live, rather than the traditional approach of using stronger and stronger antibiotics, which, by the way, was proving to be ineffective because the biofilms are always finding new ways to get stronger and protect the bacteria inside. So by breaking up and dispersing the biofilms where the bacteria live, we can expose them to the vulnerable, free-floating state, and then they're much easier to kill.
Oh, excellent. So in these most recent years, I know we'll get back to the products in a moment, what would you say were some of the significant milestones which contributed to your success as a company?
Well, Bernadette, just over the past year, it's been very exciting for Cain. Companies continued to enhance its patent portfolio with the addition of 12 more patents and patents pending in the area of biofilm dispersion and prevention. We're highly regarded as a leader in the world of biofilm science, and we intend to stay that way. The company has started that shift that you mentioned in your introduction towards commercialization. And so now we're focusing our efforts on the commercialization of our technology. And first target for that is the companion pet market for dogs and cats. In the first quarter of last year, 2015, we published compelling safety and efficacy clinical study results for products being developed for the pet oral care market. And many of the competing products in the market don't have the science and clinical data that Cain has produced to prove its products are both safe and effective for dogs and cats. It's interesting to note.
On that note, what are some of the more impressive products you believe Cain Biotech has brought to market recently?
Well, this whole area of the humanization of pets, there is a lot of interest in pet oral care. And so in the second quarter of 2015, we launched what we call our BlueStem brand of companion pet water additive and oral sprays into the Canadian pet specialty store marketplace. These products are targeted to reduce tartar on the teeth of dogs and cats, and as a byproduct of that, we freshen their breath.
Very exciting. Do go on.
Well, you know, it's interesting for pet owners. As they age, dogs and cats, they struggle with periodontal disease brought on by biofilms that cause plaque and tartar buildup. And without proper oral care, many pets wind up living reduced lifespans. They can be in a great deal of discomfort if they have problems with their teeth. And plus for the pet owner, it's distressing and quite expensive to treat. So Cain developed this water additive for dogs and cats, which breaks down the biofilms where that harmful bacteria multiply and improves their oral health. In addition to the oral care products, we have also developed a shampoo brand that we call Alicera for the pet skin care market. So we now have in a total of three brands for the marketplace. Our BlueStem brand for the pet specialty stores. We have a Strix NB brand that's sold through the veterinarian clinics, and Alicera shampoo. These are three innovative, safe, and effective brands in the Canadian market, and they are growing.
That's exciting. And so you had mentioned specialty stores. Can you let our audience know where they can find these products?
Right now in Canada, we have approximately 200 stores across the country. And on our website for our BlueStem brand, you can go to our website, bluestempets.com. And there is a feature there that you're able to put in your postal code and it'll identify the stores that are closest to you.
Well, that's very handy. Thank you very much. You have recently received some international recognition. What can you tell our audience about that?
Well, actually, one of the most exciting developments for Kane in the past year was being sought out by a global animal health company interested in Kane's biofilm technology. In May of 2015, we signed what's called a joint development agreement with them. The terms of the agreement are confidential, but what I can tell you is that 7 months into the agreement, our two companies are working very well together on some very exciting trials that could have significant market potential.
Now, that date is rather significant, isn't it? Because isn't it true that you became president and CEO in about that 2015 time mark?
Yeah, exactly. I can take no credit for it was actually the joint development agreement was signed on my first day with the company, and I was with the global animal health company at that time. But yeah, it was good work done by the team before I joined the company.
Well, that's very exciting for you. Now, as we're coming to the end of our interview, what do you believe the future holds for Kane Biotech?
Well, we have several very exciting opportunities coming down the pipeline. First, our joint development agreement trials with the global animal health company partner. They will start to produce clinical study results in the next few months, which could lead to some very interesting commercial discussions and revenue opportunities for Kane. So that's the first thing. Second, we're working on closing some major retail opportunities in Canada for our pet oral care and skin care technologies, all of which are approved by Health Canada's LRVHP program. And LRVHP stands for Low Risk Veterinarian Health Products Program, which is a differentiator for us because there are a lot of products in the market that do not have the LRVHP approval. We're also our Alicera brand of animal shampoo. That helps with chronic skin inflammatory conditions like atopic dermatitis. And we have many testimonials from pet owners about the use of Alicera with their pets, and they've been quite amazing. The third thing we're working on, just to kind of carry on that shampoo theme, is that we're working on developing a shampoo that can be used on humans to treat chronic dandruff in conditions like seborrheic dermatitis. This is a common and chronic inflammatory skin disorder of the scalp, and it's a large market. It's estimated that in the U.S., about 15 million Americans suffer from these diseases, and half of the world's $50 billion plus shampoo market is spent on human anti-dandruff and anti-skin disorder shampoos. So, early testings of what we've developed has proven extremely successful, and we believe the opportunity for Kane for this type of human shampoo is very large.
So that is something truly to look forward to. Now that we've come to the close of our interviewing time, I want to thank you, Mark Aarons Townsend, for joining us today on Canadian Content. And for listeners wanting more information on Kane Biotech, you may visit www.kanebiotech.com. In addition, you could look them up on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol of KNE. Thank you very much.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit tenaciousliving.org to find out more.
Strategic communications strengthen internal as well as external relationships between organizations and their key stakeholders. At In the Public Eye, we connect the dots between what your audience needs and what you, as an organization, have to offer. Is your business facing uncertainty because of changes in the marketplace? In the Public Eye can help. We build clear, customized communication plans to help you achieve your goals. Find out more by visiting inthepublic.ca or call us at 1-403-862-4374. We look forward to connecting the dots for you.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome to Canadian Content. This is Bernadette, and my guest today, John Mackay from Mosaic Capital Corporation. Mr. John Mackay has more than 25 years of experience as an entrepreneur. In 1988, and at the age of only 22, he took his first company public. This venture was ultimately acquired by Bendix Corporation. During his 11 years as a lawyer and partner at McCarthy Tetro LLP, he was involved with over $1 billion worth of transactions. In 2005, he founded Mosaic Capital, and the company has been listed on the TSX Venture since 2011. Mosaic Capital is an investment company that makes long-term, control position investments in established mid-market companies across a variety of industries. They have a portfolio of 10 businesses from Vancouver Island to Western Ontario. Welcome to Canadian Content, Mr. Mackay. How are you today?
Thanks for having me, Bernadette.
Great to have you on the show. One of the first questions I can think to ask is, what are the key ingredients Mosaic Capital looks for in a company they would choose to invest in?
We're really looking at a kind of a number of items that make a company a attractive acquisition partner for us. The first thing we want to see is a business that's got a very established track record. We don't do startups. We don't do turnarounds. These are businesses that generally have been around for anywhere from 10 to 60 years, I think, is our oldest company. And we want to really see that they've got a long history and a long track record of sustainable and growing cash flow in their business. We also want to see that the management team that remains, that was operating the business prior to our involvement, remains with the business after we've acquired the business. So this is called a buyout, where there's other shareholders who we're taking out. Sometimes management takes a few chips off the table. Sometimes they increase their ownership position. But they remain with the business. We don't have a floor of MBAs that are looking to parachute in and operate these businesses. We expect the existing management to continue to do what it is that they've done so well prior to our acquisition. And then finally, we're really looking for a competitive advantage in that business, whereby they're able to dominate some kind of a niche market, and that's generally indicated by the fact that their margins are usually higher than their competitors in the field.
And tell us, please, why do you make those fundamentals requirements for your acquisitions?
Well, we're big believers that the if a business does well, its value eventually follows that business. Those are just high level attributes that we're looking for. As we dive into more detail, we're looking at returns on equity, return on capital, growth in free cash flow, those sorts of things, and their ability to take market share away from their competitors or expand into other areas. But those high level attributes we've been able to prove, and numerous people have done this before us, that over the long term, acquiring a business at a fair price that has a long track record of doing well ultimately rewards investors.
So that's very interesting. Now, what kind of metrics do you use to track Mosaic's performance? Is it just share price, or is it revenue growth? Or are there other indicators that you believe better demonstrate financial performance?
So our view is that obviously share price is important, but as I said earlier, our view is that if a business does well fundamentally, share price eventually reflects that. So the areas we really focus on and the metrics by which we kind of judge ourselves, our goal is to become one of the leading Canadian companies as it relates to five-year growth in free cash flow per common share and return on common equity. So those two metrics. And this has been something that we've always focused on from the day we listed on the exchange back in 2011. And currently, we are ranked in about the top 3% of companies for growth in free cash flow per share, and about the top 6% in return on common equity. So we're doing fairly well there. And we believe those two metrics really kind of go through the entire organization and look at the returns you're generating on capital you're employing into the various businesses, how you're managing those businesses, and how those businesses are responding to the competitive environment that they find themselves in. Obviously, in any industry, you don't see a straight line from their operations 5 years ago to how they're doing today. There's all kinds of little kinks in the road. We're seeing them in the economy today in a number of industries in Canada. But that's why we tend to look over a five-year period.
So that's a very good point. Let's follow that tangent a bit. What can you tell our listeners about how economic fluctuations affect your business strategy?
Well, I think what we're seeing in Canada at the moment is almost a once-in-a-generation response in the market, where we've seen, in particular, energy prices, oil in particular, drop by about 70%. And I think it's only now, after about a year of this activity that we've been seeing in Alberta, being reflected into markets outside of Alberta. The excess capacity that's generated by businesses here in Alberta and Saskatchewan and northern BC, as their businesses slow down because there's less oil and gas work, they start looking to try and do work in places like Ontario. You see little communities on the East Coast. You see communities on the West Coast that historically had been sending people to the oil sands and the oil patch to work, now not being those people being unemployed. So even places on Vancouver Island, which have nothing to do with the oil patch, are seeing a slowdown in their economy because some people are not able to work as much as they had done historically. So what this really speaks to is the value of a diversified portfolio. So one of our key metrics from the very early days was to build a diversified portfolio of businesses across a number of geographic and a number of economic areas, because our view is that it's impossible to predict the future. However, what we do know is if we deploy capital into businesses that are diversified in nature, but they're very good in their field, net-net, over time, you find that the returns of those businesses will revert to a pretty nice mean. Some will underperform in some periods of time, like some of the businesses we own in our energy segment of our portfolio are struggling at the moment, whereas there's other parts of our business in infrastructure, for instance, which makes up about 70% of our business, which are doing very well at the moment as a result of the stimulus into infrastructure. This also gives investors, these economic fluctuations, the opportunity to buy businesses at attractive prices. And by investors buying businesses, I mean buying shares on the stock market, because in times like this, all companies seem to get painted with the same brush, and their valuations are slashed as people panic and move out. That creates opportunities for people who are more value investors to look at businesses they've been maybe eyeing for a significant period of time and get the opportunity to acquire those at attractive prices.
I understand. Let's just revert back a moment and find out a little bit more about the kinds of infrastructure companies that you currently hold in your portfolio.
Sure. So we have a number of businesses across Western Canada. We have businesses involved in marine and pulp and paper, in servicing those industries. We have a large potash company that is a potash services company in eastern Saskatchewan, which is where a significant part of the world's potash comes from. And notwithstanding the weaker potash prices, there's significant capital in investment going into that area to grow that. And then we also have a business, a mechanical HVAC business in so heating and ventilating in commercial buildings in Winnipeg, which Manitoba's seen this year to be one of the strongest growing, if not the strongest growing economy in Canada. Manitoba is one of those provinces where it doesn't have big highs and it doesn't have low lows. It just sort of it plods along at a nice rate. And so, again, that diversification is some years when we look at that business, and it'll be won't be growing as fast as some of our other businesses. But this year, it's in a perfect place where it's catching the wind of the infrastructure spending and its location.
Wonderful. Now tell our listeners, what would you say makes Mosaic Capital unique among its peers?
You know, I think a couple of things. The first is that we're a long-term investor, and most private equity firms are set up with a fund structure where those funds have to be returned to the unit holders with anywhere between a 3 and 10 year period, depending on how the fund's structured, but generally sort of a 5 year period. And so that makes it difficult to make long-term investments when you're doing that. You generally are buying something with the view that right away you're looking to sell it. In our case, we can own a business indefinitely, so we can make decisions that we think are going to benefit that business over the very long term. We're an active investor in businesses, and by that we mean we partner with the management teams to assist them in some areas where they may not have expertise, but we do, and we provide them the autonomy to run the business on a day-to-day basis, and that has really worked well over the long term. And then finally, I think we take a very disciplined investment approach. We look at roughly 300 transactions a year. We do somewhere between 1 and 3 transactions, so we pass over the last majority of them. And then finally, and this has really played out in this economic environment that we're finding ourselves in right now, we always maintain a very strong financial position. And by strong financial position, we mean we want to have adequate liquidity for our short-term needs. We choose our creditors very carefully, and we choose the types of security they get very carefully so they can never risk the organization as a whole. They're always siloed. And then finally, we always want to be in a position where we have a balance sheet that allows us to take times that we're in right now as an opportunity to play offense, as opposed to being overly levered so that when we get into when the economy acts in the manner it is at the moment, we're playing defense and we're dealing with bankers and that sort of thing. So, you know, I think of the $220-ish million dollars in assets we have, we've got about $6 or $7 million worth of debt on that. And so very low indebtedness, which allows us to play that long game.
Well, thank you very much, John. I know that we're coming up to the end of our time on Canadian Content. For those of you wanting more information about Mosaic Capital, you may visit www.mosaiccapitalcorp.com. That's all the time we have for this segment of Canadian Content. Mr. John Mackay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Bernadette. I appreciate it.
Once again, special thanks to our two guests from today's session, Mr. Mark Aarons Townsend at Kane Biotech in Winnipeg, and Mr. John Mackay from Mosaic Capital in Calgary. In today's session, we were fortunate enough to learn that biotechnology can actually lead to commercialized products, and Kane Biotech seems to be well on its way, not only addressing skin issues internally by breaking up biofilms with liquid ingredients that's even added to water, but also moving into the human trials and looking at products to address those issues. So keep on the watch for Kane Biotech. As for Mosaic Capital, it was fascinating to learn how a diversified portfolio can lead to great strength and economic stability when things are even disrupted on the TSX and other markets worldwide. I want to thank both of our guests for joining us today, and you listeners for tuning in to Canadian Content. We're always looking for recommendations and suggestions, so if you want to reach us, feel free to contact us at inthepublic.ca. Thank you for listening to Canadian Content. My name is Bernadette Giranazzo. We'll see you next time.
This program was sponsored by In the Public Eye. In the Public Eye is a public relations agency focused on assisting corporate leaders overcome current barriers and create success through communication strategies. We look forward to connecting with you next month. Thank you for listening. Should you have any questions, please visit www.inthepublic.ca.